If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 11th, 2024. That's right, 3/11 day. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the New York Times quoted at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. I feel like everything is right, Greg. When you are in a Ghostbusters outfit.
I mean, honestly, I should wear it every day.
You
I was
almost
born to wear
do.
This stuff.
The percentage of days I've seen you wear this, it's not insignificant.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
Like, a bomber jacket is to Tim Geddes what the Ghostbusters jumpsuit is to Greg Miller.
Very excited to see, you know, after Frozen Empire, the new ones I will make.
Uh-huh.
Because they are rocking a black one now with the gear badge.
Ooh.
And you know I'm going to make them.
Ooh.
Because you know, I love the my Ghostbuster 2 suit is my favorite suit.
Yeah.
However, you can't beat the originally iconic. You know what I mean? And I'm still, even though Ghostbuster Spirits Unleashed helped me, I'm still not at the point in my life where I feel like I can mix and match.
Gotcha.
I want my suit to be identifiable blank, bam, Ghostbusters. And I know... I tell kids all the time when they talk about, I want to cosplay, what could they be? It doesn't matter. You're in the general vicinity of a Ghostbusters costume. People are stoked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this...
People are stoked about it.
It's true. Always gets a big reaction at the parties or Halloween.
That's true.
Or walking through the streets
of San
Francisco.
I think it's because of how decorated it is.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of accoutrements going
on. Sure, yeah, lots of accessories.
Toys,
I'm excited to see the new accessories, what we're going
to
get out of this movie. You know what I mean?
You're about to have a lot of new stuff. It's scary how much space it takes. You know?
How much space all the stuff has?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see my Ghostbuster closet.
You have a Ghostbusters closet. That is not a lie, everybody.
Huh?
That's not a lie.
Oh, no, I've shown it on Gregway before.
Wild.
I'm very proud of my Ghostbusters
Absolutely
closet.
Absolutely wild.
Right now, I got an ottoman shoved in the back of it, which I'm not stoked about.
Mm.
Kind of takes away from it.
Can you get it, like, reupholstered with some Ghostbusters?
You know, well, honestly, what it really needs to do is just, like, I need to just pitch it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Jen holds out hope. I mean, first off, our 2-year-old's running the couch upstairs into the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that couch is coming back from this. We always talk around, like, you know, 7, maybe get a new one, right? When we're not so worried about him destroying it all the time. So
well,
it's like
7, that's like prime wrestle time. That's what
yeah, wrestling's fine, but right now it's like, you know, he's eating a bagel on the couch and he just goes like this with his hands. You know what I mean? It's that
Jesus.
Kind of thing right there. You know
yeah.
I mean?
I'll never forget when we were in our little boy phase, which I guess was not out of, but when Cool Craig speared me through the armrest of the couch, and that thing just went.
Oh, wow.
It just ripped straight off of
the
couch.
Yeah.
It was not a good day at the Geddes house.
Yeah, I bet you were not.
I think that might have been the most trouble we've ever gotten.
Wow, really?
Oh, yeah. It was like, you guys, you crossed the line.
You jumped to that of a spear through the couch, and what I jumped to is when I almost broke my ribs in Carson Perry Scott at Stratford Square Mall in Bloomingdale, Illinois, because Poe was working at Carson Perry Scott, right?
What's it?
It's a department store. It's Macy's.
Okay.
And I think it's out of business now, but it was a Chicagoland thing. Poe was working there at Stratford, and so he had to walk around in a tie and a shirt. So, of course, me and my idiot wrestling BYWF friends would show up, and like, we're getting pizza or watching a movie, and when we go in there, of course, we want to fuck with Poe and piss off Poe and get him in trouble. So we did, and I forget what Poe was going to get something or was finally done with us and was walking away. And there was this bed set up, right? Like a nice little bed. And I was like, I'm going to drop the picture perfect Mick Foley elbow on the end of this bed. Thinking, of course, it's going to be like my bed at home.
Uh-huh.
Not thinking that they might have a giant wooden bed frame. That's
No.
So I came in, went like this and just full on. And it was that thing where I whatever Poe was doing, he came back and he's like, get the fuck out of the store. I'm like, I can't move. I can't. Like, I'm actually hurting now. Like, there's a problem. I can't
there's
actually.
There's a problem, everybody.
This
You're
isn't
the
me.
Problem,
we're
Greg.
No, we're no longer fucking with you. I'm in a lot of pain. I might have broken my ribs. I don't know what's up.
Oh, man.
But I didn't. It would be years later when Dan Reicher tried to break my ribs. But that's a story for a different time. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about these stories, a bunch of Mario news, Deviation Studios shutting down, and so much more. Because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news need know about. If you like that, Also, remind me sometime to tell you the story about when we wrote all these false comment cards at Oberweis Dairy about Poe. God, we're bad people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
We're bad people. This kid, Poe's just trying to make a buck, make That's a milkshake, it. And we're trying to ruin his life. Of course, if you like that, you can get the show live as we record it as a podcast, Twitch stream, YouTube stream. Of course, wherever you get it, thank you for your support. But if you really love what we do, why not support us with the Kind of Funny membership? Using your Kind of Funny membership, you'd get each and every episode of Games Daily ad-free. You'd get all the other shows ad-free. You'd get the afternoon podcast live as we record them. And of course, you'd get my daily vlog video. Gregway, today I'm hangry, but not anymore. Now you're in a time capsule. Now I'm feeling pretty good. You know what I mean?
You wait, what?
When I recorded in the car, I was having a bad day because I was so hungry.
I get it.
Okay. But then I just destroyed three of the sausage burritos from McDonald's.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. You know it better than me.
Yeah.
Kevin Coelho is an angel sent to our earth. You know what I mean?
True.
And he's been taking care of you your whole life. Uh-huh. But when this man introduced me to these breakfast burritos, he changed my fucking life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's years, maybe 8 years ago now. Because I was an Egg McMuffin boy. You remember this?
Of course.
I don't know. Nah, not no more. I'm getting these breakfast burritos out. And now they're on the dollar menus. So I can get buy one, get one. You know what I mean? And I don't necessarily like the hash brown. You know what I mean? Depends on my mood.
What?
Also, I'm bringing a thermos of coffee to work nowadays, so I don't need the coffee.
There's
so
a
I was
lot
like,
going on.
You know what? I could save money by eating more burritos. And I did three of them, and it was great.
Greg, if people didn't know what their favorite Ghostbusters outfit was, if they're like, oh, Greg's talking about the Ghostbusters 1 outfit, the Ghostbusters 2 outfit, like, I don't know the difference. Is there some way that they could find out?
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, today we will be doing a watch-along. And when I say we, I mean me. A watch-along of all three Ghostbusters movies that are leading in to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That's right! Some of you put it together, and obviously I talked about it, but I'm going to New York on Wednesday to go to the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire red carpet premiere with the cast on Thursday. Don't get stoked. We'll see if I'm going to be like 100 yards away from them or not. We'll figure it out.
I'm stoked. I think this is super cool for
I'm excited to go to New York. Yeah, don't get me wrong about that. It's going to be a rad thing. So, but of course, before I went to Frozen Empire, I wanted to watch all the Ghostbusters movies, and I wanted to watch them all with you. And so, yes, we are doing Ghostbusters 1, 2, and Afterlife today, starting at noon Pacific time after a sponsored stream on Twitch and YouTube. Of course, it'll be on YouTube later on demand and all that jazz.
That's a lot of movie, man.
It is. I'm very stoked about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's so weird to me because you're not a movie guy, but it's, if it's Ghostbusters, you're just like, yeah, three of them back to back.
Well, again, this is building to something.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in Frozen Empire and be caught off guard.
Of course.
And miss an Easter egg.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't want to see there, like, you know me. Yeah, I know them all, but I want to make sure it's
just
all
to
fresh.
Be extra sure, yeah.
You know, I'm also doing like a thing there. A very, you know, a special little thing while I'm over there. Hold on, let me do one thing.
Okay. He's doing a thing, everybody.
Hold on. No, it's not the bad thing. It's not the bad thing. I want to make sure I get, you know, because there's Twitter and there's Instagram and there's something else. Hold on. So, like, I'm not only, you know, using this New York trip to go see Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, with the cast. Everyone's stoked about that. Right?
Uh-huh.
You stoked about that?
I am stoked about that.
Not only am I doing that, I'm also, of course, torturing my wife.
Mm.
And so, of course, what I said is anytime we go somewhere, right, I'm like, you know what? Let's try to make a date night out of it. You know what I mean? So, it's New York. The premiere's on Thursday. We get there Wednesday. Let's do a date night on Wednesday, right? She's like, oh, that's great. I love you, mama. Where did I book her for dinner? Tavern on the Green. Why is that a big deal?
Across the street from the firehouse?
This man knows nothing about New York and the boroughs, no? No, it's not across the street from the firehouse. It's across the street from Dana and Lewis's apartment in Ghostbusters.
Oh.
And if you remember, when Lewis gets chased into Central Park and bangs on the window, he's banging on the Tavern on the Green.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we're going there for dinner.
Great.
Stupid
I'm
idiot.
Sure she's going to love it when you reenact that scene. And she
I'm not
going to
reenact anything. I'm just going to say, oh, man, Central Park West.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Coinkydink.
What a coincidence. And there's the building. That's pretty neat. You know what I mean? But where it gets... hold on, I already screwed this up. Super exciting is that Ecto1_New Jersey.
Yeah.
Ecto1_NJ on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, or I'm sorry, Barrett. I'm sorry. I got breakfast burritos and Kevin on the mind. If you can go to Instagram.com/Ecto1_NJ. This is an Ecto1 in New Jersey.
Okay.
As it might have given away anything. They got a little bit of internet fame, even outside of just the Ghostbusters community, during the Halloween season. When they were like, hey, we're going to do Ghostbuster Ecto-1 tours. where you can book the Ecto-1 and you can drive around to the different locations the movie was filmed in and shit. Guess what I'm fucking doing?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go around goddamn New York in a fucking Ecto-1, motherfucker. That's what I'm doing.
That's
you know what I mean?
That's so cool, Greg.
Yeah, hell yeah. Honestly. I can't fucking wait. I'm very, I've been talking to Nick for quite some time over there. There's a million moving parts to it, so when it'll happen, when we'll figure it out. But you're goddamn right. I'm doing... MS Gambo says, I'm sure Jen is thrilled for this. Let me tell you a few different things about this trip, all right? Mm-hmm. There's some things I've left out for Jen, all right? Now, first off, Jen is much like Gia.
Be cool, chat.
Jen is much like Gia, mm-hmm. so she is down to clown. Even when I've tried to bring up some stuff, she's like, I'm there for the experience and with you. Whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. So, but like one of my first conversations with Nick, the man who runs Ecto-1 underscore NJ, right, and doing all this stuff or whatever, he was like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, it'll be great. Yeah, he's like, be sure you give yourself enough time between the Ecto ride and the premiere because you're going to smell like a carburetor. Like it's a 1959 Cadillac. Like it's an old-ass car. It's going to smell like exhaust. You're going to smell like exhaust. I'm like, no problem. And then the other thing is the Ecto-1, obviously, as you imagine, probably pretty in demand during this time. We've had to move our times around a bunch. It looks like it might be incredibly early on Thursday that I go out there. So when I told Jen, her first thing wasn't anger. She says, can we go to bed when we get back? I'm like, yes, we can.
Yeah, that's all you need. You guys are going to have a blast. I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for you to hang out today with everybody on Twitch and YouTube.
That's right. It'll be Amazon watch parties is how we'll be doing it. So if you're watching live, you can join off of that. But of course, we'll be telling you the time code throughout all three films as we go. And of course, I know I'm speaking to a cultured bunch here at Kinda Funny.
Yeah.
But just to reiterate, remember, we're not leaving 2016 Ghostbusters out. Because, oh man, women, first, that's a fucking horrible take. And you know, I never was a part of that, even though I don't like 2016 Ghostbusters. But we're doing it, of course, because these three ones go into Frozen Empire. A lot of hullabaloo, and I say a few people bent out of shape in my comments. And I'm like, but I wouldn't watch 2016 because it doesn't involve this universe. I need to know everything about Phoebe Spangler, past, present, future.
Yeah, I get it, dude. The ghost of Phoebe's past.
More housekeeping for you, of course, ladies and gentlemen. There's a new game showdown live right now. It's a video game spelling bee. It's not worth watching. YouTube.com/. Don't even put it up. Well, you obscure my score, so I'll take that. YouTube.com/ kind of funny. And podcast services around the globe.
The hardest episode yet for me.
On top of that, Kung Fu Panda 4 in review is up on YouTube.com/ kind of funny. And of course, the in review podcast feeds. I'm streaming Ghostbuster movies all day. And of course, Friday is the big day, ladies and gentlemen. The Mix and Kinda Funny have teamed up for the Spring Game Showcase. We will have 60 indie games strut their stuff Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific. That's the usual Kinda Funny Games daily time. Come watch our channels, the Mix channels, or IGN and GameSpot, who are simulcasting this
very
entire
cool.
thing. Very, very cool. We're very excited about that to support some cool games and kick off your GDC.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kiernan Hovasapien, which we did confirm, by the way, not a Jay-Z reference.
His last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Delaney Twining.
I did ask Cool Greg, though, his take on it, because you're trying to figure that out. And he was like, I've never heard of that. He's like, but Hovastorians are a thing.
And you can see why I got confused. Before we go any further, right down here, my dog Nick says, does the Ghostbusters film build off Ghostbusters the video game? Greg Lee usually claims it is essentially Ghostbusters 3. First off, my dog Nick, I don't like the way you're saying that at the end, claims, all right? I probably touted back in the day. And no, it does not, because Ghostbusters Afterlife retconned what Ghostbusters the video game was. But when there was nowhere else to go, Ghostbusters the video game, I think it was Ghostbusters 3. Now it's a fun Elseworld story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Factor, but we'll tell you about that later. For now,
shout out to Godzilla, by the way. My one bullshit thing I want to say. Godzilla won an Oscar last night.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. John Cena was out there nudie.
He was. A lot of things happened.
No easy way to stream that either, we discovered. So, you know. I saw Sean Finnegan tweet about it.
Nah, that's bull.
And then Jen, later on, an hour later, was like, I want to, maybe we should put it on. I'm like, it's not going to happen. Don't bother.
Yeah.
She can do it. Nobody care. Today, brought to you by Shady Raisin Factor, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, everything Nintendo announced on Mario Day 2024 from Kotaku via Willa Rowe. And a quick aside to say, welcome with your Kind of Funny membership, Solitary Jess. Remember, of course, if you want to be part of the show as you read the stories, get them in as super chats on YouTube. I digress. We go to Willa at Kotaku. Over the weekend, Nintendo celebrated its annual Mario Day celebration on March 10th. That celebration included a few surprise announcements from Nintendo itself in honor of the beloved plumber. In a message from Shigeru Miyamoto, it was announced that a new animated film, quote, based on the world of Super Mario Brothers, is in production at Illumination and will be released on April 3rd, 2026. No further details were given on this film, so it is unclear if this will be a sequel or a spin-off to 2023's The Super Mario Brothers Movie. We already knew that Luigi's Mansion 2 Remaster and Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door were coming to Nintendo Switch, but we didn't have release dates until now. Both announcements have been made via official Nintendo social media accounts on Mario Day. The Thousand Year Door will be released on May 23rd, and Luigi's Mansion 2 HD coming a month after that on June 27th.
Thousand Year Door coming May 23rd, 3 days before Kevin's birthday. Luigi's Mansion 2, June 27th, 3 days before my birthday. Really makes you think.
It does make you think. Thank you, Mr. Nintendo, for these birthday wishes for these beautiful boys. Nintendo Switch Online, the console subscription service that gives players access to a collection of titles from retro consoles, is getting some new games. The Game Boy's Dr. Mario and the Game Boy Color's Mario Golf and Tennis will arrive on Nintendo Switch Online on March 12th. Finally, LEGO and Nintendo have made several Mario sets together in the past and are teaming up yet again. A short teaser video announced that a LEGO Mario Kart set will be released in 2025. Timothy, you have four pieces of news here to dive into. I feel like Mario Brothers the movie, the big one.
Definitely. All of this, though, exciting stuff. Top level, I want to say, I appreciate that they're taking Mario Day seriously. Because a lot of these anniversary days, this isn't an anniversary, but they've kind of turned it into this like event day.
And which, 7 day.
And 7 day. There's formerly, artist formerly known as Outbreak Day.
Yeah, now it's just Last of Us Day. Right? Yeah.
Pokemon Day, which is actually the anniversary. We just had that last week. And Pokemon Day, they've always, or at least most of the time, kind of treated as a place to announce new Pokemon titles or whatever's going on over in Pokemon Land. Pokemon but with Mario Land? Day, it's cool that they're taking it seriously. Like, we've gotten some pretty consequential announcements for Mario in the past. For things that traditionally would be reserved for a Nintendo Direct. And even this, being on a Sunday, I am impressed that they were like, no, we're committing to the day. We actually want to hit that. We're not going to save this stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And getting some answers to questions we've been asking. When are we going to get Luigi's Mansion 2? And specifically, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Remake. Those are two games announced without release dates. Having them now, you really start to see what the first half of Nintendo's 2024 looks like.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of those answers already, but we're seeing essentially one quote-unquote major Nintendo title a month. And we've had Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Yeah. We have Princess Peach Showtime coming later this month, and we're going to continue on that way. So very exciting stuff. Because
are you happy with this? Because you're talking about now, you know, the first half of the year. You're talking about a game a month.
Mm-hmm.
Is that exciting to you, what they've done here and how they're doing it?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Is it the most exciting half year that Nintendo's ever had for the Switch? Absolutely not. Is it the worst? No. And I think that when you look at how deep we are into the Switch's life cycle, I'm just happy we're getting games, first off.
Sure.
And games that I'm excited for. Like Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, I'm extremely excited for two reasons. One, I haven't played it in a long time, and the remake looks gorgeous. And I'm very excited about that. But two, and more importantly, I feel like there's so many people that have just heard us sickos talk about this game for so long, and it is so good. And I think it's really going to live up to the hype that it has been set out for the game over the last couple decades here. So that's exciting.
Luigi's Within Mansion on my 2, fantasy critic team, I hope it does as well.
Yeah, I think it will, Greg. I think it will.
Better.
Luigi's Mansion 2, fine, weird, not my favorite. Like the 3DS tends to not be my favorite system to pull from. I am happy that at least those games are being remade, ported,
put in somewhere you can get
it
to them.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
That was my thing too, is a big Luigi's Mansion fan based on the
of
IP
course.
Of Ghostbusters, right? Like I remember playing that on the Muni to work. Like that was one I made time for and played and enjoyed.
Yeah, and I loved Luigi's Mansion 1 when it came out.
It's gorgeous.
Like a remake of a GameCube game, and it looks this good. Like they really seem to have put a lot of love and care into it. I saw Mike Minotti was pointing out that this is it's 30 frames per second, which is interesting. And it's like, come on, guys, like let's get up to that 60. But they haven't confirmed it, but just based on the trailer that we've seen so far, this is the only gameplay we've had. The announcement yesterday didn't have any new footage. It was just the date. So fingers crossed there. It's not going to destroy the experience, but I do think 60 would really enhance a game like this that is so timing based. But either way, it looks stunning. I'm really excited for it. But yeah, Luigi's Mansion 2, interesting because they got rid of the subtitle. before it used to be called like Dark Moon or something like
that. Yeah, that's right.
And now they're like getting it more in line with Luigi's Mansion and Luigi's Mansion 3. But it is one of those games where I'm like, all right, I don't even know if I'm going to really give this one a shot. Like, yeah. It was okay on 3DS. It was definitely, I mean, it was the 3DS version of a franchise in the same way that Mario 3D Land versus Mario 3D World. I loved Land, and then World came out, and now there's not really a reason to go back to Land. I kind of feel that way about Luigi's Mansion 3, which is fantastic video game, versus 2. I don't really, this just kind of just seems like something to put out. But hey, I'm happy they're at least putting something out. But when you look at the latter half of the year, right? It's like, what's going on, right?
Sure.
We now know probably that Switch 2 is now next year, which really kind of paints Nintendo's fall in a different way, which would have been the most exciting thing ever. Now it's a completely blank canvas. So what is going to fill the gaps?
Do you think is the answer nothing? Because I feel like the answer would be nothing.
I don't think it's nothing. Okay. I think that Nintendo likes money enough that the answer is not nothing. And if they're putting out all of these games now, there's going to be some more things like that. They still have games to port. Obviously, we've talked about it a million times. Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. I firmly believe we're going to see those games on the Switch, and they perfectly sound like games to be released during that time frame. Metroid Prime 4 is still the big question mark. I, for some reason, really, me and Bless have been talking about this a lot on Games Daily, but like, I think that with where we're at now, it's going to come out on Switch. I think it'll be this year. I'm not confident 100% in that, but like, my gut tells me that's what's going to happen. And that's exciting. I feel like that's a decent year for Nintendo overall.
Sure.
When you look at the Switch Online news here, like we're talking about some of the best Game Boy games ever. Mario Golf is an amazing RPG. Mario Tennis, super great as well. Dr. Mario, whatever. Like, I can't believe it's not already there. But
that's just stuff. Classics.
But yeah, that's on the game front.
So then doubling back to the movie. Yeah. Right, the thing, it's Miyamoto says it's a new animated film, quote, based on the world of Super Mario Brothers, end quote, in production April 3rd, 2026. No further details given on the film, so it's still unclear if it's a sequel or a spinoff. It's got to be a sequel, right?
I mean, I don't know that clarification actually matters. Like, I think it's a sequel. It will be a sequel in the...
It's Chris Pratt being Mario.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
will it be a more Donkey Kong-focused thing? Perhaps. You know what I mean? Will Super Mario be in the title? Definitely. But I don't know that it's going to be Super Mario the movie 2. It might be, you know, but it probably will be. But I don't know. The spinoff thing to me just gets a little messy because we're talking about the world of Mario. So it's like... We already know Yoshi's being teased, right?
Yep.
Because at the end of the first movie. Yoshi. So I don't know. Is it just called Mario Yoshi's Island? That would surprise me, but.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get in the way of that, right? They know they got money. They got money in that title.
I don't know.
The brand.
Yeah.
I think you still keep Super Mario Brothers in the front. Maybe it's a colon.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers colon Sonic at the Olympics. You know what I mean?
But I'm really excited for it. Like, I'm happy. Like, I know that we all expected that this movie was going to happen. It's nice to know that there's a date that they're working towards, and it's not that far off, 2026.
Which makes you really going to hit it. You're really going to hit it.
Yeah, I think so. You don't think so? These are movies.
Hey, man, remember when I think I was already supposed to have seen Spider-Verse 2 by now. I'm just saying.
No, but that's different, though. That was like... That was a lofty thing for them to even announce when they did. This sounds like... This seems like in line with... how these animated movies tend to release,
I hope so.
From Illumination. So I have faith in it. I think that they'll hit it. And if there is a delay, I don't think it'll be substantial. I think it'll be that year. I think it'll be within months of what they're talking about here.
Okay.
But yeah, that's exciting. And I do think looking at Mario Day, they're taking it quote unquote seriously because they were building the IP in a different way than they ever have. They want Mario to mean more than just video games. They've been doing that. With the theme parks and with the movies and with whatever.
They're doing it, right? I think they're accomplishing it, you know?
They're there.
Again, Ben knows Mario.
Yep.
And he doesn't know Mario, I think, as a game. He's seen Wonder, but I don't think that's what he is.
Yeah.
That's not what Mario is to him. He is the toy. He is the hat. He is the movie he's watched parts of.
Totally.
Well, then, happy Mario Day, Tim. I'm sorry I wasn't here to celebrate it with you yesterday.
Yeah.
But from good news to bad news. Number two on the Roper Report, Deviation Games is shut down. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN.com. Deviation Games, the studio formed by Call of Duty's Zombie Mode creator Jason Blundell and Treyarch veteran Dave Anthony, has shut down before it could ship out the game it was developing in partnership with PlayStation. This sad news was shared on LinkedIn by Deviation Games Chief HR and Operations Officer Christy Stoll, who also said the team would be holding a networking event to help those impacted by the studio's closure. Quote, it is with a heavy heart that we announce the closure of Deviation Games, Stull wrote. I want to express my deepest gratitude to our entire team. Thank you for all of your hard work, dedication, and contributions to Deviation. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to have worked with each and every one of you. To the entire video game industry, we will be hosting a networking event, and we would love for any slash all companies slash studios hiring to participate. Please do reach out to me directly if you are interested in attending. To all the deviators out there, we will always cherish the memories we made together. Thank you for being a part of our journey. Go get them.
Continues, man. Super sad, super shitty state of the industry.
100%, Timothy. 100%, right? Of like, yeah, I mean, how much more can you talk? I guess, obviously, hearts, you know, minds, everything else go out to these people. I hope everybody lands on their feet, et cetera, and so on. You know, and I know I rushed through that part because we've said this part so many times. But I feel like, in general, as we just keep talking about what a fucking shit year it's been for layoffs, you're going to keep saying the same things. The wrinkle to this, I guess, that's not... interesting sounds bad because it's fucking fascinating to see the video game industry eat itself alive and lay off all of its people who make its games. But again, another reverberation of PlayStation, right? You know, yeah. We came off that thing where they laid off a bunch of people, they closed stuff. Herman was like, there's, you know, not bad people, not bad games, but, you know, creative visions don't come together and yada, yada, yada. You look at this and say the same thing, and it's just like, how much worse in a PlayStation sense will the bloodletting get is what I wonder.
And that is very scary because I think there's two fronts of PlayStation that we've been talking about a lot on this show, on PS I Love You, and in many other places, that we have the legacy of what PlayStation has created in the last generation or two with these AAA, like, dare I say, quadruple A, single-player cinematic narrative experiences that are bazillions of dollars to make and require such huge, giant teams just to be able to release. And then there's the challenge of making the money back and then making enough money to make another one and keep going and keep everybody happy. And then there's this shift to a new strategy of these live service games, the multiplayer that we've heard them talk about so much, we've started to see seeds of, but now we've heard more canceled games from that plan than released games.
Sure.
And is that going to continue? And at what front, when we don't have any announced games on the former side of this, what is going to happen? You know, like, at what point is there just not games coming out for a year, 2 years, 3 years in the PlayStation ecosystem? I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a fascinating question, right? And especially when you talk about, like, this has to catch up. You know, the failing of The Last of Us multiplayer, closing this, closing a number of other things. And again, I don't think we're done. You know what I mean? I look at people, and this is from the outside looking in. I look at Media Molecule. I look at, you know, Haven. I look at all these different things, and it's like, what's going to happen there when they? Because I don't think the fascinating idea here, right? And we've talked about this a million times, but to reiterate, right? These big companies don't want a little profit; they want a lot of profit. They want big profit margins. They want all this stuff. So to sit here at the end of Q1 and be like, "Cool, yo, this shit sucks, and it isn't working," right? We're going to get rid of people and we're going to close all these things, blah, blah, blah. I don't think next quarter there's not like a Last of Us coming out in the next 3 months. There's not a God of War coming out in the next 3 months. So when you get to that next quarter and it still is, we are still not making enough money. Like, is anybody there going to be like, well, let's hold on. We have this coming, that coming, this coming. This is a bump in the road. Or is it going to be, well, what the fuck is Media Molecule doing? What are you, blah, blah, what are you, blah, blah, and start doing that kind of thing.
There's the Twisted Metal game, right? What was that? Fire Sprite?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
people who made Aloy Call or Horizon Call of the Mountain.
Yeah, like there's just so many of these projects that we have heard rumors about for so long, and now they're just gone. Now they're like, some of them canceled before they're, or like formally canceled before they're even formally announced.
Yeah.
And when you think back the last couple of years to those similar types of rumors, we've seen a lot of those games come out. Like even things like Last of Us Remastered, Last of Us Part Two, all that stuff. Like
sure. We
saw those games come out and it's like, we're not hearing rumors right now, Greg. We're not even hearing.
Yeah, no, you're no seeing real things.
We're not, so. There's nothing being like, we don't know what is happening just on any front when it comes to PlayStation Studios games. And like, that is very scary when we're hearing news like this every other day.
Well, if you said something interesting that we kind of sailed past, but coming back to it, right, is the idea that you said AAA, right? You're talking about like PlayStation being known for big AAA stuff, trying to make more of those. It's interesting. I want to continue from Adam's article over on IGN, right? Just a little bit of information about Deviation Games, right? Deviation was revealed in June 2021, and Blundell and Anthony stated they were working on a new IP that was very early in development. We still have yet to learn what the IP was, but Blundell did share a few words about their dreams of the project back in 2021. Quote, "We're drawing on what we've learned over our collective decades making games, but we're also out to make something fresh and brimming with innovation like you've never experienced before," Blundell wrote. Quote, "We're not afraid to say that our ambitions are super high. We're setting out to make a huge, content-rich game with a focus on a lot of action and a lot of energy. But let's leave it at that for now, and hopefully it won't be long before we can share more," end quote. This doubles back to what I'm always talking about when we have these conversations, and you look at Deviation, when you look at Ascension, right, just north of us, the folks who put out Immortals of Avium, mm-hmm. right, and how what they went through. Like, and I even tossed it in a very similar setting to Deviation, that's No Moon Studio, of yep. like, hey, it's this traditional, we're popping off, we're all these former AAA devs from Call of Duty and this and Destiny and yada yada, and we're coming here to do what we do best and make these huge games, and it's always such a, fuck, Callisto Protocol, fuck, yep. you know what I mean? Of just like, everyone, I think, wants to jump way too quickly in their own timeline. I feel all these studios that go off and start these things leave with the ambitions and the knowledge they had at a AAA studio with a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of time and a big publisher and yada, 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 come to these smaller things and expect to have that same grace period coming from a Call of Duty or something like that, right? And you just don't get that when you're independent. I think they really, if anybody's listening and actually listens to me and you're getting ready to leave your job and start a thing, in a video game developer, start with a small project, something you can get out in 2 years. Do that. Show your talent. Leave the audience wanting more. Give them the 5 to 6 hour experience for $20. That's going to be a PlayStation Plus game as well. So they then go, holy shit, like, they've still got it. I want that thing. I mean, I'll toss it out there, but I think even with the audience, it would be kind of polarizing. But like, not everybody's going to be Kojima and Death Stranding, right? And even Death Stranding wasn't everybody wanted this after Metal Gear. This is what we wanted from Kojima, yada, yada, yada. But it's like, I would say in terms of all these different studios I'm talking about, that is one that has succeeded and has been able to go out and has been able to swing for the fences and do something
big.
But
even then, though, it required a partnership, right?
100%.
Like, that I think is such a unique situation. And at the end of the day, it's like, you can't even really compare that to something.
And I'm just tossing out there because I don't want to ignore it in terms of the conversation. Yeah. But I feel like people leave and think that they can get their very talented friends, this isn't a knock against anybody's talent, get them together and find that rhythm and magic that they had at the studio they were at before when they made the big thing that they're famous for.
I mean, that's what's interesting there is I agree with you. Devil's advocate, though, I do appreciate the swings. And I just think
but this just keeps happening.
Yes, totally, totally. And I just feel like it is what's sad is there's not enough vibrancy in the industry overall to be able to not miss. Right. It's like and even little misses, like even if the game is a 3 out of 5, a 4 out of 5, it's like, cool. Like something like an Immortals. It's like they really tried to do something, like they tried to put out a new IP that was on the scale of something that is very, very impressive. And sure, it didn't entirely hit, but it sucks that like it didn't entirely hit means they're done. You know,
well, they're still around.
Yeah, but I mean,
they've lost a lot of people. Yeah, they had to lay off people.
Exactly. Like that's
make sure we're clear. Just make sure we're clear.
Yes, yes, yes. But like to me, that means done, though. It's like you can't. When something doesn't work and then you take things away from it, it's not going to work the next time.
Yes, 100%. You
know? So,
and that's the thing too. Like, so to back to my point, right? Like if you're going to pair, let's keep looking at Ascendant Studios, Immortals of Avium, right? You pair down that group and then they get to work on their next project. I think it's then what? Cart in front of the horse a bit, right? Of like, well, now we're going to make something smaller. And it's like, well, should have started there, I think, really, to get it going, right? To get a studio identity, culture, how do you work? Is everybody on the best team? Yada, yada, yada. And maybe they don't. Maybe they go for another big one and they get another big check and I'm wrong.
It's just, the point I was trying to make a second ago, and I don't think I made it clear enough, is that the big games, the PlayStation games, have gotten so huge and the expectations are so lofty and everything has to be 30 hours of this prestige experience. Like, playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I know I'm jumping a little bit there, but like, I don't understand how that game is real. I don't understand the polish of the cutscenes and gameplay and everything. And it is multiple, it's a game that you could play forever. Yeah. Like, it is so long. It is hours and hours and hours of hours. Like, it's nuts, man. And I feel like the expectations there, then when you jump down to something smaller, when it's not that, but it's still $70. It's not that, and it's $70, and it's not as polished in this area or that area. It's like, the gamers are going to be so upset that it's just not gamers. Going to ever work. And I'm not blaming them, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like that's the expectation set by the studios of this is what a $70 game can be. And it's like, maybe we shot a little too high on that. The other side of it, though, is look at something like Hellblade. I feel like Hellblade is a great example of, hey, give it an experience that is, it looks and plays like a giant AAA game, but it's not as long, and it is on the cheaper side, and it is a more focused experience. And I love that Hellblade 2, they're doubling down on that.
That's what we do.
We need more of that, setting the expectations from the top of, hey, these giant games don't need to be giant.
Yeah,
these giant games can be smaller experiences, because we just don't have that expectation right now. So when a game comes out that is, it has to try too hard, and then when it fails, it's like, well, it's not a surprise that it failed, but it fucking sucks that it failed, because we need more wins. I wanted Immortals to win. I wanted Callisto Protocol to win. I want That's No Moon Studios to put out a game, and I want it to freaking
fucking
win.
Awesome,
because
man.
We need more of that stuff, or else the divide's just going to keep getting larger and larger, and that's just going to create more problems.
100%, Timothy. You know what they say. More money, more problems.
Yep.
But I can eliminate one of your problems, ladies and gentlemen. Ads during Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you get the Kind of Funny membership, of course, you get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You get all the other shows ad-free. You get the ability to watch the other podcasts live as we record them privately a day early before they post anywhere else. And of course, you'd get my daily series, Greg Way, the vlog among vlogs, amongst vlogs. Vlog among vlogs, which is a bunch of vlogs. It's my thing, and I ramble like this, usually in the car. However, guess what? You're not using your Kind of Funny membership, Patreon, or YouTube benefits. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high-impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it is Tim looking dope doing his Pokemon Go walks, Snowmike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange them or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that is ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off polarized sunglasses.
Shout out to Factor for sponsoring this episode. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Joey has been loving her Factor meals because every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. And Factor is flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Number three on the Roper Report, Xbox's Sea of Thieves has topped the PlayStation 5 digital pre-order charts. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. Sea of Thieves is currently the top pre-order chart, a top of the pre-order charts on numerous PlayStation 5 digital storefronts. As initially noted on X, Twitter, all right? I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before it goes bankrupt or he sells it again and it'll just be Twitter again. I'm future-proofing.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Noted on Twitter by games industry data reporter Benji Sales, the premium edition of the game currently has the number one slot on the PS5 console's pre-orders page in the U.S. when sorted by best-selling. The standard edition is also in the top 10, sitting in fifth. This means the game is currently being pre-ordered more times in the U.S. than MLB The Show 2024, Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection, Dragon's Dogma 2 Deluxe Edition, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, and Rise of the Ronin. VGC can confirm that the situation is similar on the UK store, if not better. The UK's current pre-order top 10 on the PlayStation 5 console store has the premium edition of Sea of Thieves at number 1, as well as the standard edition at number 4, and the digital edition at number 10.
Very cool. You know, I think this is an example of the last story we were just talking about. Games need
make
to find
money,
new
make
ways
money,
to make money,
money
and that audiences need more games to be able to play. Again, now going back even to the first story, Nintendo having a game coming out every month. That is very exciting news as a lifelong Nintendo fan that has had many years of no games coming out. Or if there is, it's one game coming out in May, and then there's nothing before that or after that, and it's a game I'm not even that interested in. And this is giving more chances to games, second lives to games, whatever it is, to get more people to be able to play and more games for people to be excited about, more money to be made for the developers so that they can make more games.
Yep.
Excellent stuff here. And also, shout out to Sea of Thieves, man. A game from Rare that was the last thing Rare fans were asking for back when they first put it out. And slowly but surely, it has built a dedicated fan base that is now only going to grow, like potentially double in the next year or two. And they have so much polished game to play for the last couple years that they're going to be able to enjoy. There will be support going forward. Wins all around.
Yeah, 100%. Sea of Thieves is a fantastic game. I stayed away from it until the Pirates of the Caribbean DLC and went deep into it with Mike on streams and at home and had a ball with it. Loved it. You know, it dropping on PlayStation, I imagine I'll kick the tires and see what's up and jump back in. But yeah, I love Sea of Thieves and I think it's great. The question over here that I like is Sam B on YouTube. I wonder what the console warriors think about this. I hope it's just that they finally figure out they don't fucking matter. That'd be nice. You know what I mean? Nice. Of like, and of course, I'm saying this as number one PC hater character Greg Miller when I yell about all that shit online. But you know, I don't care, and I want you to play games and enjoy games. And I think that's what's always so fascinating is those moments we all get to see. Oh, right, we don't matter. You know, and I don't mean it in a negative way as much as it sounds like it. But it is that idea of like the amount of us video game fans that listen to podcasts and read IGN and get in the weeds on this Todd Howard interview or podcast or what, you know what I mean? Like
enthusiasts.
We are so small. We are such a sliver of the video game playing population that when you get outside of it, you find out that, oh yeah, no, the people who are pre-ordering this probably don't even know that it's an Xbox published game. And if they do, they don't care. They definitely probably don't think it's cool. The way we think it's like fucking crazy.
Really,
and you think Poe cares if he's downloading really Sea of Thieves? He doesn't give a shit about it. He's just over there doing it and stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I saw this. I wish I had slacked myself this to remember the actual numbers, but I saw tweets this weekend about the Ori franchise selling over 10 million copies and it being some anniversary of Ori.
Yeah.
And I think it was the director of the game saying that with that number, that probably makes it the highest selling Metroidvania franchise ever. Wow. And like, that's so cool and impressive. And I love those games so dearly. They're so great. I really would love to get a third one day. But even if we don't, I'm so happy that these two exist. And more than that, I'm so happy that they exist on every single console. Like, it's so cool that they're just out there on the Switch. They're on PlayStation. Like, that's, are they on PlayStation?
No, they're not. Ori's
okay,
not
okay. My bad, my bad, my bad.
I was gonna let you cook.
It's on Nintendo there, and like that's, and it should be on PlayStation. Guess what? The sales of
it will be soon enough. Sure.
I hope so. I mean, at this, who knows with that stuff? But I appreciate that Microsoft and I know Ori wasn't a first party studio thing, but both Cuphead and Ori felt like they were. They were presented that way in the Xbox showcases, and the Xbox Game Studios logo, if I remember correctly, does play before it, right? Like, it is one of those like partnership type deals, second party, whatever, like however you want
to
frame it, right? But then those games came to other consoles and gave them second life. And Cuphead eventually did come to PS4 as well. I just think that it's like, yeah, that's such a major win. And Hi-Fi Rush now, it's like, let's keep this trend going for games that can really, really, really be serviced by that.
100%. Blessing Adeoye, a YouTube chatter for the first time, and I believe a 10-year-old boy, says would love to see Helldivers 2 come to other platforms.
Perfect
shit
example.
Like this is dope. Blessing, you're just a child. Don't curse like that, please. But yeah, no, 100%. I love Helldivers 2. I'm having a great time with Helldivers 2. It's doing live service well in different ways, and I'd love to see it come to Xbox and expand for people.
Does it happen?
Oh, come to Xbox? 100%.
100%?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Helldivers 2, 100% coming to Xbox.
100%.
Wow.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't it?
I mean, just because of these weird ass things. Like, just PlayStation hasn't really done this. MLB The Show is the one.
They do it with their old games. You know what I mean? And granted, this is a live service, so there'd be updates and yada yada. But this goes back to the age we live in, which is exactly what you've seen with PlayStation bringing God of War, the Uncharted Collection, yada yada. Exactly what you see right now with Hi-Fi Rush coming over, with Sea of Thieves coming over. And literally, it is, there's only so much juice you can get out of the orange. And when you get to that point where it's like, cool, no one is now, we have sold as many Helldivers 2, Ori, Hi-Fi Rush, et cetera, as we can on the platforms that's available, that's when you go, okay, cool, let's flip it.
I mean, I love that.
And the easiest way to do it, and I don't know if this is when it would happen, but let's just say it is when that first expansion drops or the second expansion drops, like the first, you know, big, not just little stuff, big stuff, like new planets, new enemies, yada yada yada, and you're selling, or as they've said, it's all going to be free when that drops and there isn't as big of a spike, or when you see it going down, like whatever, like that's when you say, okay, cool, and it's coming to Xbox as well, because then you get the spike of new people coming in there, other PlayStation people returning, they want to do that, they're buying the war bonds, they're doing the thing, da, 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 da.
I love where you're at with this. I think your confidence surprises me, because I think that it is likely only because I think it's going to be a necessity sooner than later for PlayStation to be able to make money from games. But you say older games, like what is there any example of it coming to Xbox?
No, I'm talking about the PC jumps. I've been talking about the PC jumps.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that now that that's open that way, and I think that you know, for many people was a crazy forbidden door moment, and it's like, okay, no, PlayStation did that. Now you're seeing this, and again, like, let's go back to what we have just talked about two stories before. Deviation Studios, not owned by PlayStation, but in partnership with PlayStation closing, which then led to us talking about the layoffs and closures at PlayStation, right? Like, PlayStation needs as much juice out of the oranges as they can fucking get. And again, as we talk about the fact, no Last of Us, no this, no that. The next big AAA launch is April 2025, right? Okay, cool. Then you are going to continue every financial quarter, the messaging is going to be, all right, well, we're doing well, but it's lower than it was last year. Year over year, it's a loss. Year over year, it's a loss. People are going to want change. They're going to want money. They're going to want this thing, and that's what you do.
Does Death Stranding come to Xbox?
Yeah. You're talking about one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it not already there?
No, right? Is it?
I remember, maybe I'm thinking about a rumor when it was...
It is.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so I was right about that one.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, well, that's an example. That is an example. Then.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, Helldivers is a foregone conclusion. It will be there for me. Lock, take it to the bank. And I think it will be fucking huge when they do it, because I think it will be the, I don't even know. It's kind of hard because everybody's so into Helldivers right now.
Stranding's on Xbox.
But the excitement's tapered off.
People are saying in the chat that it was on PC.
I remember this. We got tripped up on this. It's the PC version. You're right.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what tripped us up.
God, you could buy Death Stranding on Xbox.com. What a fucking world we live in.
And that's, again, like, okay. Right? Another one I think will go. Because, again, it works so well of, like, cool,
we're making
Death
a movie.
Stranding's here.
Death Stranding 2 on the beach.
Why don't you come buy a PlayStation 5 to play Death Stranding 2 right now, right? That's the whole hook and line of this thing, and I think that's just across the board. And especially even if it sounds preposterous and crazy right now, look at the bloodbath our industry
totally.
Is. Everyone's going to have to get fucking wise real quick that they need to make as much money as possible to survive for as long as possible.
They're going to have to as soon as possible, but how soon is that, Drake?
Like, I think it's really soon.
Yeah?
I think it's really soon.
Hope so.
I think it's really soon.
Hmm.
Hmm. We both drank our coffees at the same time. Great podcasting. Number four on the Roper Report, Activision QA workers vote to form largest U.S. video game worker union to date. This is Rebecca Valentine at IGN.com. A group of roughly 600 QA workers, that's quality assurance, at Activision under Microsoft have successfully voted to unionize with the Communications Workers of America, becoming Activision Quality Assurance United. Activision Quality Assurance United is the first to unionize at Activision since the company was acquired by Microsoft and the largest video game worker union in the United States. It incorporates central QA workers at Activision offices in Texas, Minnesota, and California, and is distinct from other recent QA unions under Microsoft, such as ZeniMax QA Union and the groups at Raven Software and Blizzard Albany. The group has organized with the support of CWA Microsoft Neutrality Agreement signed in 2022, where Microsoft committed to taking, quote, a neutral approach toward unionizing and refraining from hindering union discussions at the company, as well as offering a streamlined process for choosing to join a union. This is notable, especially in light of the hurdles faced by Raven Software and Blizzard Albany in forming their unions prior to the acquisitions, as both groups accused Activision Blizzard of union-busting efforts. Quote, there was not one specific catalyst, but more so just recognizing as QA workers, we often have the lowest projections and lowest pay of any workers in the industry, even though our work requires expertise, skill, and is absolutely essential to the success of companies where we work, said Tom Shelley, a technical requirements specialist at Activision and member of the newly formed AQAU. The group, that's like when they say SHIELD. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Got to do something about the name. We did SHIELD. Fuck you. The group expects to bargain with Microsoft over a new contract, particularly over asks such as better pay and benefits, more promotional opportunities, and a clear career development track. Currently, ZeniMax QA workers are bargaining over their first contract with the company, which thus far includes agreements on subjects such as subcontracting and artificial intelligence.
Hell yeah.
Go get them.
This is great. You know, especially coming from QA teams, which we've reported on. I mean, I know recently there's been so many layoff stories and there's been so much horror stories of shit we've had to talk about. But dating back even years prior to that, like, we've talked a lot about how QA is so important, but always it gets the short end of the stick and always does not get enough resources and is honestly treated like they're not part of the team. So it's even great to see this happen on such a large scale, 600 people. Activision under Microsoft. It's like these are big power moves, and like there's shifts happening.
100%. Yeah, of course. Try to fix it from the inside because everything's going to hell. But Tim, I'm tired of all this big news.
So big.
If I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items that you need to know about.
Number five, the Wii News. Multiversus launches as a free-to-play title on May 28th on Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and of course, PC.
Do you think that they'll say this is a
this is another
beta?
Test. This is yeah, just
this
another,
is another
test.
Test after a couple months.
A Stellar Blade PS5 demo was published, then pulled from the PlayStation Store.
Interesting.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to reinstall it as soon as I get back to my desk. Destiny 2 is crossing over with Ghostbusters on March 19th.
Hell yeah.
So what is the fucking car? Barrett, I put it into KFGD. If you can throw up the image while we'll keep going. But, like, I know my, what do they call it? The fucking, my scooter. I forgot what they call them. I want to say Razor. Nope. That's not right, though. That's a different thing. I know that. It's a ship. It is not the fucking ship. Are you fucking kidding me?
You flying through space in the Ecto-1? Let's go.
Oh, my God. I looked at that. I looked at it, and I was like, there's no way that's the ship. That's the fucking ship? I'm fucking all in. Are you kidding me? What is that? Oh, Slimer's then my ghost. I see the ghost eye there. The Dink. Peter Dinklage.
Great.
Oh, my God. And I know.
Wow.
I know. It's the fucking Nolan North. I know. But Alex J. Sandoval says the Ecto-1 is probably the ship. If that's the fucking ship... Holy shit. And also, yeah, I saw somebody else complaining about it. Put the goddamn jumpsuit in. You know what I mean? Let me make Taylor Swift look like that. Come on.
I love you. I'm so happy for you, Greg.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
You know what I mean? The Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Orchestra World Tour has been announced. Tickets on sale on March 15th. You stoked?
What a time for me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Things are just shabby. So good. Yeah. The one thing I'm not stoked, no San Francisco stop. Which is
weird.
Very inconvenient for me. There's Los Angeles is like, they always do that. And the timing, not great for me. Am I still going to try to make it work? I am. It's not looking good, Craig.
On Deal of the Day for you, NBA 2K24 is joining Xbox Game Pass today. Hope you're stoked, Mike. And that's all the wee news you need to know about.
Wow, fantastic.
A bit of breaking news. More of a confirmation, more like over the weekend, some shit started happening, right? Where it was, you know, of course, we talked a lot about Warner Brothers Discovery last week, closing Rooster Teeth. That's all getting shut up, right? I want to toss in one here from Polygon. This one comes from Michael McWhorter. Warner Brothers is now erasing games as it plans to delist Adult Swim published titles.
We talked about this on Friday.
Perfect. Okay, cool. I got tossed in by Barrett and I thought something new was added. Is there anything new, Barrett, in there?
I didn't direct a Friday
show.
Gotcha.
Cool.
I
thought there was.
I looked back at the time codes and I couldn't see it in the time codes. So
on Friday, I thought it was they were worried about it happening, and then I thought maybe it was happening or something. Okay, cool. Good.
Yeah,
good.
No, there was a ton of the more and more people were like, "Oh shit, just heard this." Like the directors of the games and stuff were coming forth.
Gotcha.
And
like, gotcha.
Wow, this sucks ass. And a ton of games, man. Like ton of games that like you've heard of, some you haven't, but some that have like active communities. Like we were reading the story about. One game has been there for like 10 years and it started as a Kickstarter game, and like people's like Kickstarter pledges got them into the game, and like their save files for like the last 10 years or whatever are just gonna go away. It's like
boo,
man.
I don't like that one bit.
Nope.
I also don't like over in the chat, Shinnick came in and said, "Hey Greg, are you gonna come to the Ghostbusters premiere on Thursday with the rest of us? Come to the fucking show on time. You think I'm dressing like this for Halloween? You think I'm gonna, well, I do, but you think I'm dressed like today for Halloween? We're ending this stream. We're going into a sponsored stream, and then I'm watching all three Ghostbusters in the Afterlife universe getting ready for Frozen Empire because I'm coming to New York for the premiere on Thursday. Whoever from IGN is working the red carpet better get ready to interview me. Ghostbuster News, I saw you're going to be on the red carpet. Interview me. All right? This is my chance. Kumail, I'm going to hug you. Bill Murray, I hope to shake your hand.
I'm so happy that that didn't get any worse than it did. It like there's a moment I see the flicker in your eyes when the camera starts zooming in on you, and
does
I
the
see
telltale choices pop up?
You're at a like, fork in the road of like, how hard am I going to go? And the thing is, the moment the camera starts zooming, you're never going to take the easy route.
Oh no, me and Barrett know what the means.
Oh yeah,
when Bear says go, Greg, what he's doing there is like in Star Wars. When they say we need more power and they push the little thing up in the ship, the Millennium Falcon, I believe it's called, that's what he's doing when he pushes in on me.
Yeah.
What that's Barrett grabbing my stick shift.
Barrett, don't sit there like this.
Barrett grabs my stick shift and pushes it forward.
That's me as the director telling Greg without telling him, fucking go crazy.
Yeah,
go.
Exactly.
No, but I appreciate the restraint with that, you know?
I don't want to screw it up.
No, exactly. I mean? Yeah. You can't take some things back, Greg.
I'll just stop. Just stop. You're tossing me too many meatballs. You're talking me too many meatballs. You know what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 11th. We hope you've had a lot of fun with us. Remember, to get the most out of Kinda Funny, you should get a Kinda Funny membership. If you go and get that Kinda Funny membership, you'd get Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday ad-free. You get all the other shows ad-free. You get the other podcasts live as you record them. And, of course, you'd get my daily vlog series, Greg Way. Of course, you get if you have no Buck Saucer Way, Twitch, YouTube, podcast services, like, subscribe, share, rate, and review. It means a lot to us and finds us new Kinda Funny best friends and keeps our independent 11-person operation in San Francisco running. Like I said, sponsor stream after this if you're watching live. After that, I'm watching three Ghostbuster movies back to back, and you can watch along with me. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.